Jose Francisco Cali Tsai, welcome to Worldviews.
Thank you.
So you are from Guatemala.
Yes, I am from Guatemala.
And you work on indigenous issues, rights regarding indigenous peoples. What are the key issues regarding indigenous rights and the rights of indigenous peoples in Guatemala that you focus on?
Well, actually, in Guatemala, specifically in this moment, it's a land problem. Also, we have access to justice.
So when you say access to justice, you mean being able to have access to the procedures and through courts and governments recognizing certain rights of indigenous peoples?
Both, because the thing is that you probably are aware is that in Guatemala in 1996 has finished an internal war that took place for 36 years. And the people who had been affected by that war mainly were the indigenous peoples. And now they are trying to ask for justice, but they were agreed to sign not only the peace agreement, but also they signed an amnesty law, which it said that all those people who commit human rights violations will not be persecuted. Legally.
Will not be prosecuted.
Exactly.
Okay, so those who victimized the indigenous populations in Guatemala, those who, when you say victimized, because it was a bloody war.
Exactly.
So it was the indigenous populations that suffered significantly.
Exactly.
From that war. And so those who were perpetrators are not being prosecuted and held accountable for their
exactly.
crimes.
Exactly. Okay. So that's why now some indigenous people, they are asking to persecute those perpetrators. But you know that the history of Guatemala, non-indigenous person has been part of the making decision power. So that's why until probably 5 or 6 years ago, there had been some indigenous person who were starting to get involved into the government institutions, but still very, very recently. So that's why indigenous people doesn't have any power to make changes in the legal system in Guatemala, not in the political parties, participation. Economically, of course, the history of Guatemala has been that that indigenous people don't have any participation in the sharing of the wealth of the economy in Guatemala. Of course, indigenous people have been participating in making that wealth, but not participating in the benefit of that work that they have done.
So when you say that they haven't participated, what is the ultimate source of that lack of participation? So is it the government keeping them out of being able to run for office, being able to hold a seat or vote? What is the ultimate source of that lack of participation?
You know that all the Latin American countries, when the state has been constructed on the base of discrimination and racial discrimination against indigenous people. In Guatemala, before the so-called the democratic period of Guatemala in 1944 to 54, indigenous people need, as we call, viability card to be able to walk and freely in the streets. It's a card that they need to be sealed by the landowners to tell the police or the authorities that that person had been served in the big farm or the big plantation 180 days work a year. And if he or she doesn't, had been not fulfilled those 180 days, they will be taken to a prison, obligated to work for the government or to return to the big plantation to comply with the 180 days of work. And sometimes you know that those plantation owners, they have not sealed those cards. So in that way is that in Guatemala, and I believe in other countries where indigenous people have lived, have been the same. The discrimination against indigenous people has been historically. So that's why the participation of indigenous people is very recently that is coming into those systems.
So racial discrimination being systematic and widespread,
yes.
Not only in Guatemala, but I know you've worked internationally as well,
yes.
Elsewhere in the region, elsewhere around the world. So this is something that you see in terms of the racial discrimination against indigenous peoples broadly. Can
yes.
you speak a little bit more about that and perhaps relate that to, I mean, you've mentioned, you know, access to justice, human rights violations, but you also mentioned land. This is also a significant issue, right? Land problems or rights to land. But the kind of how the broader issue of racial discrimination has an impact systematically across countries, not just in Guatemala, but elsewhere.
You can see that in the education system in Guatemala or in all the other Latin American countries, you will see that the quality of education in Indian communities is so low that even they can read and write, the history that they have been taught is against even their own culture. And it's because, again, the education is based on racism and racial discrimination. So the problem in not only in Guatemala, but all the other countries where indigenous people live, is that they are trying to people forget their history. Land and how it's connected to this issue is that since the Spanish came to the continent, they started to take the best land for cultivation. And they concentrate the Indian people, especially in Guatemala, in the western highlands of Guatemala or the north highlands of the country. There was not good land for cultivation. But in this moment, they had not in this moment, in the 50s, they discovered that those land are very wealthy land, specifically because they have minerals like gold, silver, copper, and other minerals that that they can take from those lands. And that is why, again, they are trying to take out the land of the hands or the small plot of land that they have still had in our countries. And the problem there is not only that the access of the land, but if you wanted to have an economy for indigenous people, it's going to be impossible because our land is not naturally, it's not for cultivation. It's a forest land. And if you deforestate or you cut all the trees from that land, you are going to degrade the soil of that part of the country. So in 10, 15 years, again, we are going to have land that doesn't to be good for cultivation. So many people believe that what the indigenous people are asking is for land reform. And that's why when you speak about land reform, immediately they are just returning back their tape, we said, in Guatemala, and the fear of communists is starting to be in their mind because it's supposed to be that the land reform is only the communist people are the ones who are asking for land reform. But in the economy of Guatemala, if you don't make a land reform and if you don't want to come to the moment of the humanity that we are in this moment, the development in Guatemala is going to be impossible.
So you've painted, obviously, a very vivid picture of all of the issues and concerns that indigenous peoples are dealing with, from lack of, not just lack of education, but lack of quality education, lack of access to the justice system, violations of their rights in many ways, not only their right to life, but their right to property and good property, good land. So, but, you know, the issue is then what is the solution here? Because I notice that you've worked with the government, you've worked with the government of Guatemala, you've worked with other international organizations, the United Nations and others. Are governments really the problem here? And if so, is this the way to go about solving some of these problems, is by working within government? Or is it perhaps, the approach should be working from outside the government and pressuring governments to engage in, as you say, land reform, for example?
No, I think the main problem in Guatemala is the political system that we have in this moment. Of course, if we analyze very carefully the situation of Guatemala, we are going to see that the corruption is not something that is taking place just now. It's historically in our countries, especially in Guatemala. The corruption is something that is affecting mainly all the government, all levels of government in this moment. There is a former president that is in New York in this moment. He was extradited to the United States because he is accused to be or try to deposit something like $20 million to American banks. That the money that has coming from the public resources. So I believe that that is only one example that what level of corruption we have in Guatemala. I believe that it's not only land reform, because land reform, if we are going to do a land reform and give a piece of land to each family, we don't have enough land in Guatemala to give land to everybody. But the problem here is also that if we are talking about land reform, we are thinking that indigenous people, they are all farmers. But in indigenous people, we are farmers, craftsmen.
It's a much more diverse population.
They are intellectual. Yeah. Exactly. It's the same as the whole society of Guatemala.
You need a broader approach, not only land reform and giving indigenous people's land.
Exactly. So, but the solution of the indigenous peoples in Guatemala is the solution of the Guatemalan society. We have to see, as you said, in a very broad way solution, because there is a solution for the political problem that we are facing in Guatemala, but also I think that all the Guatemalan has to participate. When we are talking about indigenous issue, the Society of Guatemala believes that indigenous issues, only indigenous people has to discuss those issues. And the reality is that we, the Guatemalan, we have to discuss all the issues that is affecting the Society of Guatemala.
So the society as a whole needs
exactly.
to come together to find a
yeah.
proper
and,
solution.
And one of the other problem also is the trust. If I don't trust you, how I can sit in a table to discuss the situation? So what we need is to build that trust into the whole society. That the indigenous people doesn't want, as they are calling, a reverse discrimination. That is not the reality. What we wanted to do is to have justice, equality in Guatemala.
Well, Francisco, thank you so much for sharing your perspectives on this very challenging issue with us today on Worldviews.
Thank you.